world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
That's pretty stupid.
Let's not call anybody.
No, I'm not calling Nikki stupid. I think the idea is stupid.
Yeah, we were just talking to our close personal friend, Ms. McGee. And
McGee.
Miss McKee, not McGee.
Nikki, I don't know. He thought it was Magoo.
Yeah, I thought it was Mr. Magoo, not Mr. Magoo.
Magoo. That's just because your mind goes in that direction, you know.
Yeah, your mind goes to Magoo.
Your mind goes in the Magoo direction, bud. You know that, don't you? I'm making a joke. What do you think?
That's not funny. I think it's funny.
Never mind.
Okay, I think it was pretty funny. His mind goes in the Magoo direction.
Yes, I said the Magoo direction, not the Magoo.
We got a real thing around here pointing out everybody's foibles. Everyone's stutter step. It's an amazing show to work. Anyway, hi. Nikki was saying before the show, just seconds before this show puked onto the air. That's how I think we kind of make our entrance every night, you know?
You think that this radio show vomits its... This show expirates or it vomits food particles out in... Wow.
What is expirate?
I think that's vomit. Anyway, yeah, I think that this show vomits its way onto the air every night in some unusual ways. But tonight, we were discussing the fact that there are some neighborhoods in Los Angeles that are going to be using different kinds of light bulbs, probably in some sort of a crime preventative nature. They have in other cities, as you know, and here as well, use different colored outdoor street lights to illuminate certain areas better than they have been illuminated. And I think that's what they're doing here in L.A. But the article she was telling me about, this is I love this. And who knows how widespread it is. Apparently, there's a neighborhood association, you know.
Yeah, they don't want to use it on account of they think it's going to be ugly.
Well, they don't want to change the different colored lights of the street lamps because it will change the look of Los Angeles in motion pictures. Now, you can laugh if you want.
It's totally on it. Totally, 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 totally moron.
May I finish?
Yeah, but it's still moron.
May I finish?
Yeah, but it's still moron.
Bud, we got it already, okay? Let Margaret finish.
Okay, but it's still moron.
Okay, then I won't finish.
Go ahead and finish, Margaret.
No, not if he's going to keep on saying that.
All right.
It is a way of making the city retain its look in the motion picture industry.
What look is that? I don't understand.
Well, there is a classic Hollywood look, Phil. Is that what you're saying, Margaret?
Yes, there is a very classic. It is a film noir look. It is a backlit look. There is a backlit lighting to what is lit.
What? What do you mean?
What do I mean?
So you're going to have to put it in a way that's a little bit...
Well, I know a lot of lighting people, so I'm very conversant with it. How do I put this to lay people?
You're talking about how they lit it.
How they lit what?
How they light the movies. Is that what you're talking about?
Let me ask. The lighting that you're talking about is something that's done by lighting people. It's not done by street lamps.
Well, what do you mean?
What I mean is you can get a city, any city, to look any way you want it to look. By simply using good people who are lighting people, by using good special effects people, you can make a city look any way you want it to.
I'm not talking about some special effects film that's being done by the Peter Jackson crew, the Wunderkinds of the Auckland, New Zealand, this posse that he has down there, the Auckland, New Zealand special effects Hobbit Mafia. I'm not talking about that.
What do you mean by Hobbit Mafia? She mean?
Not a literal mafia. She's talking about the bad boys and girls of the Peter Jackson School, the new brew, as the minister said in Clockwork Orange.
What in the name of everything? Holy boy, I'll tell you something, Phil. There are days you start talking, and I wish you'd never started. That's really weird.
Sorry. So what about it, Margaret, okay?
Well, don't start rushing me along with the what about it, Margaret, okay?
What are you saying?
I'm simply saying something that I think everyone can relate to. If you look at the great film noir of the old films, the Humphrey, what's his name?
Bogart?
Yes.
Humphrey, what's his name? Woo, would be. You know what, Frank? It'd be very...
Yeah, I'd like to finish what I'm saying. Those are very classically lit films. That's what we're talking about.
And they're also black and white.
Well, yes, they're black and white, but there is a feel to them. There is a feel to them.
Well, I don't know. I think that people got better things to do.
I agree with you. I think we got better things to do than to worry about whether the lighting of the city is going to change so you can't make a movie here. People are having a hard time making movies here, you know. Man, there's cats going all over the place to make movies now, you know. They don't want to make any movies here. It costs too much money. So, and it's a very interesting thing, you know, to be able to shoot a movie scene or a TV scene where you got to get a rent-a-cop or two or three or ten. And
Well, Phil, I'm familiar with how it's done. You don't have to talk about it like you're all so special and everything.
I'm not trying to talk about it like I'm special. I'm saying that there's more and more people, they don't want to make any movies around here, man, because it's too expensive. They're going to other places.
Yeah, you're going to Oklahoma City, and another friend of mine said they're probably going to go down to,
Yeah, come up with a city real fast, bud. Another one that you don't know anything about.
Well, no. Oklahoma City I know about.
Okay, Oklahoma City. Vancouver's another one. Toronto's another one. Atlanta's another one. You're shooting movies all over the place, you know.
Well, it looks like you want to just rush them out of town.
No, I'm not going to rush them out of town, but it's just L.A.'s got to figure out that there's a lot of post-production places here, which means that people that work in the post-production end of things, which is...
Now, what do you mean by post-production?
Well, you see, General...
I think, let Phil talk about it. He'll take a quicker time and not be all...
You know, one thing I can do real fast is end your time on this planet.
Hey, please.
I don't like him mouthing off to me this early.
But, okay, forget it, man. Forget we even brought it up. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, online at philhendryshow.com. And right now we are live on Listen Live. So if you want to listen to the show free, you can listen to us right this very moment, or go over to TuneIn and listen to it. As a matter of fact, tonight, this very evening, we were talking on our pre-show on the Listen Live feed, and perhaps some of it made its way onto TuneIn. I don't know. I think TuneIn clocks in with us at about 7 o'clock Pacific. We were talking online on the pre-show about a variety of different things, and you would have heard me mouthing off in a very profane yet funny way about the radio business, an accountant that we fired.
There was quite a bit of personal chatter, and very entertaining, Phil. I was listening to it as I was shaving and performing some other grooming.
Because you were doing it in front of everyone, you were trimming nose hairs.
Well, I didn't want to say it on the radio, but, you know.
Yeah, but you were doing it in front of everybody.
You were trimming your nose hairs, huh?
I didn't want to say it on the radio. God, what a bunch of asses.
And I can see your voice is cracking again, so more water for the general, huh?
Yeah, I got a 24-pack.
Well, good. I'm glad the 12-pack won't do. The 24-pack is everything to me.
Get him a bottle of water. So when we come back, we'll tell you about the storm that erupted, that fell, the rain, the this, the that, the just the craziness of it, man, that came down over the city of Los Angeles and, the environs, because it caused us no end of problems here on our show. It caused us a technical malfeasance. It's probably going to cost me tens of thousands of dollars, time, effort. I'll probably have to fire people. No, I'm kidding. But we did have a technical problem, and we'll tell you about the storm. Some other news that we'll get into here. It is a Friday night, so that's the good news. The bad news is, shucks, I won't see you guys until Monday and after tonight. You know, so it makes me feel kind of...
quit with the lies.
Makes me feel bad. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com on TuneIn and live and local and mobile on our website as well. Uh-oh. What happened, man? What is going on? Is it the rain? It must be the rain.
Yeah, the rain turned off the... I'm sure.
Bud, don't do it, bud. Don't give Phil, don't give me, don't give anyone a hard time. Don't do it, bud.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, online at TuneIn and our website, mobile and free. Mobile and free.
Wow.
Woo! Man, I'll tell you.
I think you need more sleep. Heck, I don't think it, I know it.
All right. Let me see here, man. All right, so I was just looking to see who is lined up, bud. Jay Sano, Citizens Auxiliary Police, will be on with us to discuss weather. All right, so here's what happened, and this is what I wanted to talk with you guys about. By the way, that is Anthrax there, and that's Scott Ian's band, and he will be a guest of Bobby Dooley's in one of the forthcoming Bobby Dooley podcasts.
Oh, she's going to have the young man from Anthrax.
Yeah, Scott Ian, and just had the Sklar Brothers, so Bobby is rock and roll. And Bobby will be now, just so you guys know, following the 15th, the debut of the Phil Henry Show on our new web platform, as it were, Bobby's podcast will be incorporated into the body of our daily show. So you'll be hearing our Phil Henry Show, and along with that, the Bobby Dooley podcast, the Frank Gray podcast, the Steve Bozell and Justice Files, and other marvelous offerings like that. Just want to let you know that, so you guys can be looking forward to that. All right, so what we were saying here is that the weather was nasty here over the last 24 hours. It was coming down in buckets, and it's not an unusual thing.
Well, now, you know, California, Phil, as you've said very well, California, and let me say, use the word that we use in the Army, and Margaret, forgive me, but it will, excuse me, for it'll piss down rain like you wouldn't believe.
General.
No, I'm telling you right now, because I've seen what it's done to homes. And, you know, when Patsy and I moved out here, we had a home out here in Highland Park. It was on stilts, and I said to the guy, I said, you got to be putting me on. I'm not going to live in a house. I said, I'm going to live in a tree house like I'm some kind of a jungle animal. And he said, oh, hey, man. He was one of these types, you know.
What do you mean, hey, man?
No, he's like, what, a hippie?
Well, he wasn't a hippie, but he had the bell-bottom pants. And a Nehru, they don't have Nehru underpants. It's not, I'm not.
Nehru underpants.
Nehru jacket. Got to tell what Nehru jackets are, because people don't know. Nehru jacket was a jacket that, it was an Indian-style jacket. The Prime Minister of India, Nehru, used to wear them. So people, it became popular here in the States. What do you mean, Nehru underwear?
Well, then, okay, if that's what you're saying, then that wasn't what he was wearing.
You know what kind of underwear he was wearing.
I was just about to say.
You know something? We don't have to get into that right now. But don't take that to mean, Dickman.
Yeah, you don't talk about a guy's underwear.
Don't take that to mean that I would know. All right? The fact is, if you really want to know, the guy fell on his ass down the side of the hill and we had to let him use the shower. And Patsy went in to give him a towel. And he was standing there in a pair of underwear that she said she never wants to remember the look of that the day she saw the man's underwear.
So, that sounds traumatic.
It still haunts her, yes. So,
what could possibly haunt a woman about a man's underwear? Well, never mind.
So what happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
So the guy sold you the house.
Oh, yeah, the guy sold us the house on stilts. And I said to this guy, hey, man. And he said, you know, man, I don't deal with military types. I said, well, you're dealing with one now. I said, we've just gotten back from Okinawa. I said, I spent some time on Guam, and I'm not feeling too friendly right now, if you know what I mean. So he says to me, hey, man, hold on for a minute. Let me get some water.
General Shaw is telling us about buying his home out here in Highland Park. Was it, General?
Highland Park. And so anyway, I said, it's on stilts. What do you want to think I look like Tarzan of the ape? And he said, hey, man. It's Tarzan of the Apes, man. And I picked him up over my head.
You picked him up over your head.
I better not say any more because these people may still want to litigate.
Are you kidding me, man?
Boy, listen to Henry.
God, Phil, you sound like a 13-year-old boy.
Well, it was funny. That's the funniest story I ever heard.
Yeah, but you're all like, yay!
Well, it was, you guys don't think that's funny?
Well, what's funny about it?
You pick the guy up over your head, and then you stop the story. They may still want to litigate. Where is he now?
I wouldn't know.
This is the guy that sold you your house.
Yes, he was a real estate agent for the Mannheim Group, I think it was, in Pasadena.
Well, did you like the house?
No, I didn't like the house. Every time there was a rain, every time there was a small what they call a timbler. You know, they don't call it a trembler. It's called a tembler. I didn't know that.
Yeah, a small earthquake is a tembler. A lot of people think it is trembler because tremble, but...
What is it called again?
It's called a tembler.
Yeah, it's a trembler.
I just got done saying that it ain't a trembler. It's a tembler. A lot of people make the mistake of calling it trembler.
Oh, okay.
I know that.
Well, now you do. So what about it?
Well, never. Everybody's talking to you. Forget it.
All right. Well, General, you're still with us, and I'm very, very glad of that. Rain. Rain, 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 baby. In Southern California, over the last 24 to 48 hours, a large winter storm brought much-needed relief to parts of California, boosting its reservoirs and dropping snow on the Sierra Nevada mountains, but the precipitation will not be enough to counter years of drought, officials said. Yeah, we know. However, these big storms have gone, have made a lot of people worry about, go from worrying about wildfires to mudslides. Because what happens is, when things dry out, obviously, they are no longer alive, and the roots are no longer alive, and they no longer are clinging to the hillside, as it were, and holding that soil together. So it's now dead foliage.
Foliage.
Yeah, it's Feluge.
Feluge. It's dead. It's all messed up. And so when the rains come, it just comes down the side of the hill, man. And along with it come the houses. The storm's full force was expected to be felt on Friday morning, and it did. It came down pretty good with thunderstorms and rains up to an inch per hour. Wow. Now, here's where the El Pacifico is. We're located kind of close to where the real heaviosity of this thing hit. A 10-mile stretch of the Pacific Coast Highway was closed overnight in Ventura County because of a high likelihood of rock slides in an area made bare by last year's spring fires in Camarillo's.
Go Camarillo, Mr. Levy.
I know. On Thursday, mandatory evacuation orders were issued for about 1,000 homes in Glendora, Azusa, eastern foothills of L.A., yada, 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 ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. We have an hour to get evacuated. We got to get our asses out of Dodge while the getting's good, and I ain't coming back for jack crap, said Dana Waldusky.
Let me see that.
I'm kidding. She didn't say that. This lady, Dana Waldusky, said, we're evacuating our home. We're boarding up all of our doors. We're bringing extra toilet paper. No, she's not saying that.
Well, why don't you say what she's saying, Mr. Henry, and leave the jokes for later?
Yeah, everybody wants to know what's going on.
Oh, well, okay. I'm so sorry that I'm not bringing you the information up to the minute here, bud.
Phil, it's nothing to make light of.
Okay, I understand. Waldusky, age 22, said she, her parents, and her sister made sure they had important documents, photos, medicines, and their toothbrushes packed. I'd leave the toothbrush. I mean, I understand you're chancing a cavity, but if it means the toothbrush or your passports or baby pictures, I'd leave the toothbrush.
So you would risk foul breath to save a few photographs? You gotta be kidding me.
Are you kidding me?
No, I am not.
Well, the general's got a point. You know, it's funny. It doesn't seem important, but if you breathe on someone, you breathe on the wrong person, the wrong breath, you don't need the...
I don't believe you guys. You got to be putting me on.
Why do you think the woman said toothbrush?
Anyway, I think she was probably just being, conversational with the reporter. Last time at the fire, we had 15 minutes, so this time I want to make sure I bring the mouthwash, the toothbrush, extra tampon. I'm kidding. She didn't say that.
I'm going to walk out of here unless you give us the right information.
I'm sorry. Now, the other thing that happened closer to home was, I don't know whether we had a lightning strike or whether there was some electrical surge of some kind. What do they call it? An arc or who knows, a short. But we had a power surge here at the El Pacifico at our studio that blew our TriCaster, our video computer, right off the air and disabled it. So tonight, for those of you that are listening to the program who would ordinarily watch the show, we have no video cast on the air tonight. And the reason is simply that we had a damage to the software, I think, or maybe the hardware, that has caused us to not be able to bring you a Phil TV. It'll be off the air until Monday night. At which time we'll be back on with Phil TV on our next radio show. But that was something we sort of woke up to, very, very surprisingly. And I was trying to save the file last night.
Yeah, I told you, save the file. I tried to do it, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah, we couldn't do it because this is a new Tri. It's a loaner TriCaster, and that TriCaster blew up. So I got to go back to the company and say, we need TriCaster number 3 here while the other ones get, while our original one is getting repaired. And you know what happens is they degrade, the quality of these things go down with each TriCaster. I got to tell you something. I got all kinds of issues, man. I think the TriCaster is a fantastic piece of equipment, but I sure would have liked to have had a heads up on the various upgrades and updates and up your mamas that these cats have been coming up with, so that I'm not driving a Model A while a Corvette is out there, you know, with the new the new spoiler. Phil Henry Show.
Disgusting.
Take it easy. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and online at our Listen Live. What is it I'm trying to say here?
I don't know, but you better get that liner wrap out here.
We're on TuneIn, and we are live on our website, philhenryshow.com. And also mobile. That's what I keep wanting to say, because that's a very important part of it. It's just all part of probably
writing it down, man.
Yeah, writing it down. That's got to do is write it down.
Hey, all right, bud. Nice thinking. Yeah.
So you don't have to be a baby about it.
Well, he's not being a baby, bud. But Bud's making a good point, Phil. Write it down.
All right, I'm writing it down. Now, why am I disgusting?
You're disgusting talking about Rooney Mara the way that you were talking about her. She's young enough to be your granddaughter.
Wait a second. I wasn't talking about her in any disgusting way.
Oh, you were saying, you were making it like you'd kidnap her, like Robert De Niro in Cape Fear, have her sucking on your thumb.
Oh, will you get out of here with that? She was talking, we were talking with Nikki about beautiful women. Olivia Wilde is a woman that she was talking about. And I said, well, you know, whatever, because I'm not, look, I'm not going to turn this into...
Jay Santos and everything.
Yeah, we've got to talk to Jay Santos.
Oh, well, hell, I don't want to talk about Olivia Wilde or Rooney Mara when I can be talking to Jay Santos. Hold on for a minute, okay?
I know Olivia Wilde, and she's absolutely gorgeous. Now, who's this? Is Rooney Mara that screwball?
What do you mean, screwball?
She was the one, the girl in the dragon tattoo.
Oh, she, yeah, you know... She's nuts, man. You gotta steer clear of something like that.
She played a goofy kid. She played a goofy chick in the movie. You know.
Well, I don't know. Sounds pretty far out to me.
Yeah. That's all. You think I'm disgusting? I'm not. Look at the women that I date are all probably exclusively in their late 30s, early 40s.
That is disgusting.
What's disgusting about that, for God's sake?
That's a little young, isn't it?
Oh, I see. Well, geez, you know, yeah, I'm really robbing the cradle at 40. Woo! Man.
Come on, Margaret, you gotta give a brother a break here.
Give a brother a break? Why don't you stick... What about women in their late 50s?
There's nothing wrong with them. Nothing wrong with them at all. Nothing wrong with them at all.
Phil, you're beginning... Did you hear that? He's going, nothing wrong with them at all.
Yeah, Mr. Young, you're starting to sound all panicked out and everything.
Yeah, you getting enough air?
Yes, I'm getting enough air. There's nothing wrong with them at all. Just, I don't know, maybe they're all married or something. I don't know. Believe me when I tell you, you know, I got my life at this particular point. I told you last week, I said, you know, I might as well just join a monastery for all the good that life's doing me in that direction. I'm too busy, you know?
Yeah, you're too busy. You're so full of crap, your eyes are brown.
I don't know why I get a laugh out of that. All right.
I'm dead serious.
Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police is joining us again tonight because every time we do have a weather situation, wherever that, whether or not we have weather, you know, Jay, you know?
Right, not that I haven't heard that one before, but...
I would expect you have. Jay, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very good.
So what's it like out there right now in terms of the weather?
Well, I think people back east still have it much, much worse. I was thinking about coming on the show tonight, talking to you, Mr. Henry, about this. And I know that I had already been on a program earlier talking about dancing out of the street at Twine Time.
By the way, people reacted rather positively, I would say, to your story of getting your arm broken after being hit by a car 3 times. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Phil, what, you're laughing at the guy?
Why are you doing that?
Well, you don't think that's funny and the guy's going to hang up on me? I mean, that to me is indicative of just where we've gotten, how low we've sunk on this program.
Now, I can't call a guy back.
Why don't you write that down? You telling me to write stuff down?
I can't call him back because Mr. Hall said he wants to talk to me before I call back anybody. He said there have been too many hang-ups.
Mr. Hall is bucking to have his ass pitched right off of this show once and for all. What do you think about that? That's what Mr. Hall is bucking to have done, okay?
Hold on.
Is that still the guy there?
Yeah, it's Jay Santos lying there. You want to talk to Mr. Hall?
I don't want to talk to anybody, man, other than Jay Santos. What do you think of that? That's who I want to talk about. I mean, that's who I want to talk to, I should say.
Well, I get on the line here. I'm going to get David Hall on the phone. Mr. Hall is on line two.
Hey, David, I understand you want to talk to me about this.
What is this about?
Some guy hung up on me.
Oh, the hang-ups. Yeah, listen, I've had a number of people call and say you've got a lot of guests that are hanging up on you, and I'm just wondering if there's something you can do to, number one, to offset that, and then number two, the other night when you were testing one of the listen live or the tune in lines, I heard you playing it back on the phone as you were doing the show, and there's about a 30-second delay, and I'm listening to this delay, and I got Daphne in the other ear asking me to pull over for this donut shop, for that place. There's a See's candy store, and it began to create in my own mind an inability to separate reality from fantasy. In other words, I didn't even know if I had a girlfriend. Or if I did have a girlfriend, what her name was, and did she really, you see what I'm saying? Did she really suck the cream filling out of donuts? I know it sounds crazy, but what happens, Phil?
You're talking about disorientation?
Exactly, Margaret. There is a disorientation that takes place that's quite disturbing, and that's what happened to me the other night. So if you don't mind, if you could just not do that.
Talking about that?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that is disquieting.
Would you mind? Would you turn that down?
Okay, I'm sorry. So,
See, I just heard myself say suck cream filling for the second time, and I didn't want to say it the first time.
I apologize, but if that's the disorientation you're talking about, I can adjust that.
Well, then adjust it because I'm still hearing it.
Yeah, that is pretty loud.
Turn it off, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, please turn that off. Phil, turn that off before I go ape.
I'm going to go baboon if you don't turn that... Oh, God, thank you. Oh, God, thank you.
You know, you're very sadistic tonight. That's what I was going to say. You're real super sadistic, and I wish you would stop and consider the consequences of your actions, because you may be having a couple of laughs, but you've got people that are slowly sliding a downhill spiral into the deepest, darkest depths of depression because of you. Okay?
No, I don't accept that, David. Just because I'm doing a radio show and I may, you know, make a technical mistake or have a guest hang up on me because he couldn't take the fact that I was laughing at him dancing out in the middle of the street to Twine Time or...
It wasn't Twine Time. It was the Tighten Up. That's the other thing.
Oh, that's the other thing? Is that the other big thing? No, I uniformly reject all of the candy-ass, crybaby excuses that you're getting from Mr. Santos or anybody else. I hope that makes it very, very clear.
So you are rejecting my advice?
Oh, 150%, yes. I'm going to continue to mess around technically here. I'm going to continue to point out when guests get hit by cars after getting into a dance competition on the double yellow line.
Okay, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your career.
Yep, that's what it is.
Yeah, I'm done. Daphne wants me to go with her. She's, yeah. Yeah, there's a C's store up the street. All right, you're sure?
I'm totally sure. Good night.
Oh, come on. Are you okay? Oh, me a pain in the ass. How do you like that? She called me a pain in the ass.
I think that's good for you, Daphne.
All right, can we get back to... Is Mr. Santos there?
No, he hung up.
Well, Mr. Santos has got some bad news coming his way, man, because ain't nothing going to change. Get him back on the line.
Get him, Santos? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's something, Bud, hold on for a minute.
Hold on, I got to hold on, Bud.
First of all, you know, you're talking to me, not to the guest. Second of all, I want to get this stuff talked out. Don't do it on the air. If you're going to call a guy back, do it quietly.
Don't do it on the air, but if I'm going to call him back, call quietly.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Sanders? Yeah.
Okay, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, right. Phil's on the phone. Right.
The Phil Hendry Show here.
Yeah, okay. Well,
give me the phone. Jay?
Jay Sanders.
Hey, look, man, I'm sorry, but I was just trying to make light of something that sounded like it was a, you know, we talked it out, and I think we all understood that it was certainly a dangerous situation for you, but I'm not laughing at your injury.
Well, you know, it was a very traumatic situation, and when you go, first of all, do you know anything about a Tighten Up?
Look, I don't want to do the Tighten Up again tonight or talk about it.
No, but when you dance a Tighten Up, you dance backward. So I was dancing backwards. Two skips, a full gazelle leap, and then I'm dancing backwards. That's a pretty tough dance to do. And when you're doing a dance like that, and you get hit by a, you know, you're getting hit by a bread truck. What hit me was a Wonder Bread truck. And you go flying in the air, and you come back for more. I think that's something to say.
It is something to say. And I'm sorry that I made fun that you hung up. Can we get into the weather and talk about how people can safely negotiate not only the weather out here on the West Coast, but on the East Coast? Because even though the snow has stopped falling, it is still very cold, isn't it?
It is still very cold. It's what we used to call, Phil, it's butt cold. You know, just to, it's not trying to be crude, but it's butt cold. You know, it is ass cold. And again, not trying to be crude.
No, not at all.
Well, I'm sorry, Ms. Gray, but it's butt, you know.
Get butthole cold.
Okay, enough of that, bud, okay?
Well, it's bud. Did you say butthole?
Not my name, butthole.
You know, if I were you, I'd change my name to something like Jack or Bill, because people are going to think it's bud.
Right, but not when you say it, Jay. They won't know what it is. They'll think it's buh. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, that guy is...
You know, I thought it was better when he was talking about doing the Tighten Up or the... I don't like the name of that.
Why do we have this guy back on? We had this guy on earlier in the week.
That's the guy that knows about the weather on the traffic and everything. He's a traffic guy.
Yeah, man, you can find another traffic guy. You'll have to talk to him.
That's the guy that knows the best about it.
All right, we'll talk to him. Don't worry about it. Just understand, bud, you know, that there is a there's far more to be gained by mixing it up a little bit than just to go back to the same guy because he happens to be the traffic guy. We already talked about him getting his ass run over by a Wonder Bread truck. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, online at philhendryshow.com. Listen live and mobile, and listen on TuneIn, live and mobile.
Look, I was going to go easy on you, not to hurt your feelings.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com and online at Phil Hendry Show, listen live and mobile, and also TuneIn, where you can listen live and mobile. And we have Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police back with us this week to talk about the weather and driving conditions, and not only here in California, where we had a storm over the last 24 hours that it got a little personal for us here at the Phil Hendry Show at the El Pacifico Studios because we had our video computer knocked offline, and we will not be back on the air with Phil TV until Monday night, Jay.
You know, and again, Phil, it sounds like it probably was an electrical storm, or could very well have been. It could very well have been. Now I'm thinking about it. You know, now I'm thinking about it. It could very well have been some sort of a power surge where you had a short. There was, if you're familiar, Phil, and just if I could sort of sidetrack you just a little bit, there was a sighting in Mexico not too long ago, a number of years ago, where a number of the village people, I shouldn't say village people, it makes me sound, I was thinking about...
They talk about the guys that dance and go gay and everything?
Well,
The guys that dance, what do you mean go gay?
Well, is that what they are?
I suppose technically, but...
Never mind, so you were in Mexico.
Yeah, I was in Mexico, and I'd say probably I saw some of the peasants from the village. And if you've ever been to Mexico and you've seen a lot of the peasants in the village... You will see that they have baskets of fruit and bananas, and they will carry these on their heads as they go up the mountain road to the chapel where the Virgin Mary is. Not she isn't there, but there's a statue of her and a priest who's barefoot, and then they'll go back down the mountain and eat, like, tortillas and stuff, right? And that's sort of how it goes in a village life in Mexico, see? So
yeah, that's fine. So what's this got to do with us losing power?
Phil, let him explain, for God's sake.
Yeah, Phil, excuse us, Mr. Santos, but Mr. Henry's very short-tempered.
I can understand that.
I'm not short-tempered. I thank you, Jay, for that background.
Oh, Mr. Henry, my last name is Santos. Okay, does that tell you anything?
I'm sorry, do you have family in Mexico?
No, I don't. Venezuela. But I just was testing to see, you know.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. So you have Hispanic family.
Not really. I mean, my background's really Germanic, but my family took the name Santos. It's a very involved story, and...
Are you trying to say your family was on the Odessa from Nazi Germany?
No, I'm not going to say that either. I don't want to give you any background on my family.
Then why'd you bring it up?
Because my last name is Santos. So anyway, jeez.
Yeah, Mr. Santos, I don't want to have an argument with you. I want to find out about the weather, driving conditions, the cold weather back east. And now you've got me into a discussion about Mexican peasants.
Because I was going to say about you losing your power.
He's talking about the power surge that you had that knocked the TriCaster off the air.
All right.
So, in Mexico, a number of years ago, some of the village peasants that was going down the hill with a basket... And inside of it...
It doesn't matter what was in the basket, okay? It doesn't matter if they had baskets on their heads. They're going down the hill. It doesn't even matter if they're going down a hill.
Yeah, what did they see?
What I'm trying to say to you is the peasants looked out and saw lights going up on the horizon, okay? They saw lights that they couldn't explain going up on the horizon.
What do you mean lights going up on a horizon?
Exactly that. They looked like a series of 1, 2, 3, 4 different lights rising up very slowly, like little tiny moons that were rising up. Okay?
Yeah, that's probably a UFO. I heard about that.
Well, that's what they thought it was, bud. Very, very, very close to that. And I'm saying to you that what happened, I'm not saying it was UFO, but if I hadn't said anything, would you think it's UFO? Bet you would.
Yeah, I'd probably think of UFO.
Well, I don't believe in UFOs.
Well, hold on. I don't believe in them either, but are you saying, was this checked out thoroughly by the Mexican and American military authorities?
Yeah, it was. And General Shaw, it turned out that while the Mexican peasants believe very much in their heart that a new breed of being had visited the planet Earth, it was, in fact, a problem with the high-tension wires in that part of Mexico that had not been maintained in quite some time, causing arcing between these lines, and that created the illusion of these lights. But there was a power surge. It did knock a lot of electricity out in the area. Because it was a village where the peasants are, the things that I was telling you about, a village is a place where peasants will usually be, I don't know, barefoot, and they don't use the lights. I don't know.
What are you saying?
I'm talking about the difference between a village and a town. A village is where you cook outdoors a lot. You know, Mr. Henry?
No, I don't. It doesn't matter, okay? They have electricity in this village, right?
Yes, they do have electricity in the village, and they did lose their electricity. Now, the first question I would ask them when you lose your electricity is how do you know you lost electricity? Because you live in a village, you know?
And therefore, if you live in a village, you wouldn't know that you lost your electricity because you're cooking outdoors.
That's correct, yes. Okay?
No, not okay. Not okay.
Well, Phil, you're trying to start an argument.
No, I'm not trying to start an argument. This is a ridiculous line of discussion. I want to know all about us losing power here. I don't care about villages in Mexico, whether they wear stuff on their head.
Didn't say about them wearing it on their head.
I was talking about stuff being in a basket on a head.
You know, speaking of stuff in a basket on a head, you sound like you're a basket case, okay? Forgive me for being so direct here, Jay, but I've just about had I'm at my wit's end after this long week of radio shows. All kinds of screwy stuff.
I told Mr. Hall that I would give it another chance to come on the air when you told me that I looked like a retard doing a twine time.
Well, there you go, Phil.
Fine with me. You think I care? You think I care if a nutcase like that hangs up on me?
Guy's gonna tell you about a basket.
Did I ask about a basket?
Well, there is background, though, Phil, but I understand Phil's point.
Yeah, I sort of see Mr. Henry's point, too.
I think you have to let people have their way of describing things. I know that he got far afield.
He got so far afield that it was beginning to irritate me. I want to know about... I think what he's basically saying is we had the same kind of arcing situation, perhaps, that caused the power surge that blasted the computer off the air. Now, I don't think we had an electrical storm here last night. Electrical storms are really rare for this part of the country. Now, back east, the snow has stopped. but it is cold as hell. In the words of Badusky in The Last Detail, colder than a witch's boob, ain't it?
Boy, I remember that movie.
I don't think that is called for. That's very vulgar.
Well, it's just a lie. It's, you know, Jack. It's Jack Nicholson, Margaret, you know.
Oh, yes, Jack Nicholson. Well, I do like him.
Okay. So in the end, we have a situation that must be dealt with. Now, it's very interesting they're saying that there will be no relief to the drought. Probably not, but, you know, we've had droughts before, and droughts are not that rare of an occurrence here. We had a 7-year drought back in the 80s, and we'll probably have them again. The reason why we know they're droughts is because we've had them.
Well, what does that mean? In other words, you like them?
I didn't say I like them, but I'm saying that I'm not going to freak out. I tell you one thing that I don't dare do, and that's go out and hose off my driveway, because my driveway is starting to look really nasty, you know.
Well, what's it look like?
Oh, it's filthy, because I haven't been able to hose it off, and I'm too lazy to take a broom to it.
Yeah, I know what you mean about it.
So I just want to apologize to everybody that lives near me. My home is filthy, and it's going to continue that way until I can turn a hose on it, because I'm too lazy to use a broom.
Hey!
Thank you very much. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
It's trial time. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
Phil Hendry Show all right, Jay Santis is back with us now. I've been asked to put this. This is the record, Jay, that you asked me to put on because this is the actual Twine Time.
Yeah, this is Twine Time right here now. You're right about, I was listening to you tighten up Archie Ballandrell. But this dance step, you dance backwards to. So every move you make, you're going backwards, backwards, backwards. Yeah, yeah. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
What does that mean, going backwards?
In other words, you're backing up. You know, your partner, your dance partner. In this case, though, when I was at the frat house, I didn't have nobody I was dancing with. I was dancing by you can imagine a man all by himself dancing on a double yellow line backwards. But everybody was really down with it because I had the moves at that time in my life, you know.
At that time in your life, you had the moves.
Yeah, I did. You can laugh if you want to. So I'm just, dude, and then comes a milk wagon, and I think it was either a milk wagon or it was a UPS van, and then came a guy who was hauling a boat.
What are you talking about here?
These are all cars that hit me.
Oh, my God. Santos, you got nailed by a guy dragging a boat, a UPS van, or what?
A milk wagon. No, a milk wagon, but a milkman. Because that's how late it was.
That's how late? Can you turn that down?
Yeah, you talk about Twine Time.
Hey, bud, I know it's Twine Time, okay? Turn it down, man. Turn it down. All right, so the milk wagon with... What are you doing, Margaret?
I'm listening. This is a song. Now, I'm vaguely familiar with this because back when I was dancing, and I don't want to get any more into that topic, thank you.
You're talking about exotic dancing.
I don't want to get into the topic, thank you.
It's great. You talking about exotic dancing?
Well, I did Jicky and Bob's Love Dance.
Can I hear someone talking so I don't have to... Thank you. God.
Anyway, where's music? Oh, God.
What is it with you, man? All of a sudden, you sound like you're going to suffocate if you don't hear your Twine Time.
I didn't know what happened to it because I was trying to make the point that when we were doing this, I got hit by more than just one car. And one of the songs was Twine Time, is what I'm saying.
Okay, well, that's great, Jay, and thank you for updating me on not only Archie Bell and the Drells, but Alvin Cash and the Crawlers. And Twine Time, I do appreciate it. Now, my question is, before I let you go, what are things... Can we turn the music off, bud?
Yeah, I think this is a folk song.
I don't care what it is, man. What is it?
And it's called Union Made by the Almanac Singers.
It was called...
Yeah.
And when the Legion boys come around, we always stood her.
That's great, bud. Thanks very much. You know, thank you, Bud Seger.
Who's Bud Seger?
So, thank you very much, Jay, and...
Well, who's Buzz Seger?
Don't worry about it.
He was the guy that did Traveling Man Every Day That I Can.
That's Bob Seger, so that's wrong, too.
You're talking about Bob Seger.
No, I was talking about Pete Seeger, and it was really, really wasted on you guys because you thought I was talking about Bob Seeger because he was a folk singer, not a rock and roll guy.
You talk about Pete Seeger.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about. Okay?
No?
Well, that sort of falls flat, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure does. Yeah, I just butchered it up.
I mean, if you met Bub Seeger.
No, not Bub Seeger. We're not talking about Uncle Bub, you know, with my three sons. We're talking about Bubs. Oh, man, I want to kill. I really do.
Phil, I really think you need a vacation. Jay, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Have you heard Phil late? Doesn't he sound like he needs a vacation?
Okay, we don't need to get advice on that.
That's right. I gotta jump in. I gotta agree. I mean, you do sound like you're stressed out and you're under great deal pressure, great deal stress. And I think a lot of people just care about you. They just want to know that you're doing better and 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 better, you know?
Okay, so you want me to do better? Then don't play Twine Time again.
I think you need to... I'm not doing it. I'm sitting out here in my house.
What? Will you turn that off before I go baboon? Thank you very, very much, Jay, and God bless you.
The very best weekend to everybody out there. Thank a lot.
That guy can barely speak. He can barely talk.
Well, he's doing a lot better than you are tonight, Phil.
I have to concur with that.
Now, Twine Time, if I may be so bold... You're sitting here like a bunch of amateurs. I know that song because, regrettably, when I was dancing, yes, it was a signature of mine.
When you were doing your,
Yes, when I was doing my, if he laughs, I'll take his eyes out with this.
Margaret, put that down, please.
What is that?
What are those things?
They're cuticle scissors.
I'm not laughing at anything.
That's a pretty violent and really a reprehensibly despicable and sick thing to threaten.
There, did you get all the big words out?
Yeah, I got all the big words out.
Enough said. I still say... Well,
give me that.
Take those away from me.
I just did. Didn't I?
Here, I'll take those.
Give me back those.
No, I've got them now. I have the cuticle scissors.
Let me have them.
Give me those.
Will you guys knock it off with those scissors?
Well, now it won't be any fun.
Yeah. All right, so the Phil Hendry Show here. Welcome to our new hour. Now, a couple of the things... What the hell are you doing now?
I wanted to demonstrate. I'm not going to demonstrate. I wouldn't dare demonstrate. But I'm right here. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Woo! When I was doing my... What is it with you? All you want me to do is sing songs. You know that I was a dancer.
I mean, you're not going to dance.
No, I'm not going to dance. I'm a wife and mother, you slob. I'm sorry, Phil. I love you, but that was right out of the sty, which you just recommended. Do so. I came out. Well, I came out bottomless.
What?
I said I came out bottomless. Okay. Does that give you a big thrill? I come out bottomless. I'm wearing the big 3-inch heels, and I'm going 1, 2, 3, and the one foot forward, 2, 3, another foot forward, 2, 3, another foot forward, 2, 3, another foot forward, 2, 3, and meanwhile with my arms I'm doing the swim, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Are you moving your arms in conjunction with your legs?
Why are you laughing?
I swear to God, I'm not laughing.
Well, you're lying because I'm looking at you smiling and holding on. I'm looking at you smiling, holding onto your nose with snot coming out. 1 foot forward, 1, 2, 3. 1 foot forward, 1, 2, 3. 1 foot forward, 1, 2, 3.
Well, did you mix it up at all? I mean, is that it?
Excuse me, General, you're looking at a nude woman, bottomless, one of the first bottomless performers in California. And you're asking, can you mix it up a little bit? Boy, get a load of you. Are you sure you like girls?
Hey, that's dirty pool. I'm saying, if you're going to go down and spend money, look, I'm putting $20 every time you go by me. I'm shoving it up. Well, I'm putting it in wherever you want me to.
You're talking about you're tipping her.
Yes, I'm tipping you. I would expect a little show.
You're getting all the show you're ever going to need, General. Believe me when I tell you. 1 foot forward, 2, 3, another foot forward.
So it sounded to me like all you were doing, and excuse me for saying all you were doing, Margaret, but all you're doing is 1, 2. What, you're doing that step that group Madness did, you know?
What?
Yeah, they're going like, one, two, three, one, two, three,
you know?
Well, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Obviously, you don't have any imagination, because I was one of the big, big draws there at the Jicky and Bob Social Club.
The Jicky and Bob Social... Where was this again?
Pasadena. It was great, and I made a lot of money, but after I met Frank, and I started to get a lot of auditions, I decided that was right then and there, I've got to give this up, because word gets out. And I sure don't need to be up there on stage in the All Together, you know, doing the Jicky and Bob love dance, and in comes Frank with some producers and so forth. So I gave it up. But every now and again, you know, I'm interested in the songs and the steps and things like that.
All right.
Don't look at me like I'm some kind of a reprobate. Who do you people think you are? I made a living that way.
Margaret, I'm not judging you. I'm not at all. What I find to be the interesting aspect to all of this is that you are very judgmental sometimes of people. You're the one who has the high and mighty moral purpose.
You see, that right there. Phil said it. It wouldn't be so bad if you weren't sitting here like your poo doesn't smell, telling everybody how wonderful you are. And now you tell me about the Jicky and Bob love dance. Brother, that hurts. It hurts bad.
Well, you'll get over it, General.
All right. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com with more of our Friday night show here. Thank you very much for the demonstration, Margaret. Fantastic.
Oh, you're a sarcastic ass.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, you may think that kind of thing is funny, but I don't.
All right, well...
That's pretty funny, Mr. Henry. Sitting in right, then I thought I beat off.
Shut up, man. We were doing it off the air, not on the air.
That's pretty funny.
Well, everyone's laughing. I told Dickman, don't you dare do it on the air.
Well, he just did. Now how do you feel, Mr. Laughs?
Bud, you ought to know better than that, man. All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Listen to us live and mobile at our website on the Listen Live line or at TuneIn. Listen Live and mobile there as well. Reports of Russian activity in the Crimea prompt stern warning from Obama, General.
Well, you know, these Russians, I want to give everybody... What are you looking at, Margaret?
I don't want to hear the same old Cold War stuff. I really don't.
Let me tell you something. These Chinese think that the Pacific Ocean is their own private little bathtub. Well, buddy, they got those... Oh, man, what I wouldn't give.
Well, the Chinese, the Russians, you mean... Are you saying that we're getting into another kind of international situation reminiscent of where we were post-World War II?
Dad, you're going to say post-toasties.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Oh, really? Well, I didn't. I said post-World War II. I didn't say post-toasties.
Maybe they had a name of cereal, well...
Would you two please clam it up? Just clam it way up.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, guys, but we're not having laughs right now. We're talking about World War III, okay?
Really?
Phil, don't act like an ass.
Well, you're the one that wants to start stirring it up.
No, I think, let me tell you who's stirring it up. You want to let the Chinese can stir it up, America, we'll serve it. Let me tell you what the Chinese can do. They can stir it up all they want. But we're going to put it into the bowls and put it on the table.
Okay. Does that mean we're going to kick ass?
Yes.
I don't really get the kick ass part of that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like kicking ass. You're going to put it in a bowl.
Why don't you guys get with the program? Okay. Do you understand what's going on here? You got the Russians in Crimea, and you got the Chinese who are trying to take over the Pacific Ocean.
General, you've got to get some water into that throat. Otherwise, give up the whole idea of being a radio broadcast announcer of any note.
Give me some. I told you, Dickman.
I'll go get some right now.
Yeah, because when you're making a point and all of a sudden it cracks up like that.
Well, you know, you can laugh all you want, Phil, but the Chinese think the Pacific Ocean,
I know, is their own personal bathtub. I don't know. You know, what do you do? What's the answer? What's the answer, huh?
Well, what do you mean, what's the answer?
Well, I mean, you got a big, powerful country like America. I mean, nobody can possibly be so dumb as to think that these powerful countries like Russia, like China, like America, are not the significant players that they are. And so whatever they're controlling, whatever geopolitical area they have influence over, you know, it means something. Who would you rather see control the so-called control the Pacific, the Americans or the Chinese?
I would like to see a peaceful coexistence.
Oh, baby.
No, let me just... A peaceful coexistence between the two great peoples.
You know, you sound just like my wife, Patsy. She goes on and on about this, and I say, Patsy, you're going to drive me ape. You're going to drive me jungle if you keep on going on. My wife loves to join up with the organizations. The peace, you know, I want to get peace. Give me peace and give it a chance. God.
Well, General, don't you think the war is, I mean, the world has seen enough of war?
Of course the world has seen, the world has not seen enough of war if the world still wants to solve the problems of the war, if the world wants to have a war.
The world hasn't seen enough of war if the world's going to solve a problem of war.
Why don't you guys listen to what you're saying sometimes, okay, so you can finally get it right?
The world will have seen enough of war when the world starts to want to... God! I thought I almost had it.
The world will see enough of war when the world has seen enough of war.
Yeah, that's it. The world will have seen enough of war when the world sees enough of war.
Well, okay, genius. What do you think it is?
The world will have seen enough of war when the world decides not to fight any more wars.
That blows.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make any sense either.
Okay, that's the best shot that I could... take at that.
I'm telling you right now because I've been in the thick of it. I was in the thick of the Cold War. I was in the military during the Cold War. And you best listen to what I'm saying. You got to get these Russians and look them eyeball to eyeball because they'll breathe that beet soup on your...
Yeah, they got breathing that clam sauce all over you.
That's exactly my point. Bud's got it. You let those Russians breathe that clam sauce on you.
What clam sauce?
What are you laughing at, Henry?
I was trying to think of what dish the Russians serve that's clams. I don't know.
Are you what? Oh, look at oh wow, aren't you a racist? So they can't serve clams.
Yeah, I'm a racist, man.
God, you know, you don't get it, do you?
I guess I don't. What dish do the Russians serve that's clams?
It's a figure of speech. You get a Russian nose to nose with you. All right, here you go. You get a Russian nose-to-nose with you, and he's breathing that vodka and beet soup all over your face until you want to strangle on it, you'll know what to do.
And what will that be?
Keep your finger on the trigger, my friend. Keep your finger on the trigger.
Well, I mean, there's no question that Russia and America are longtime rivals. Enemy is a really interesting word. Are we enemies? Enemies in the sense that they had this system of government that we saw immediately as being a really bad thing because it was godless. That's the biggest part of communism that Americans reacted to negatively, or at least the major propaganda against Bolshevism, as it was called, was the godlessness of it. Okay?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's a reason why America believes in God, and there's a reason why America is the number one country in the history of the entire world. Is because of the way that we believe in God Almighty.
Yeah, and in Jesus too.
No, it's got nothing to do with Jesus.
No, it most certainly does. And the Russians didn't believe in God, and guess whose country fell apart? Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, all right, fine. The communist state fell apart because of the absolute unworkability of their ridiculous economic system, not to mention the suppression of dissent. So there wasn't any way to fix it because anybody that had any better ideas or any worse ideas, any ideas at all of these ideas were vetted through the communist philosophy. They had to be vetted through the commissar, and if they were seen as counter-revolutionary, then they never made it to the top of the heap. Isn't that the truth?
Well, yes, that's the whole... I don't know what you just said, but it sounded damn good. It really did.
Well, I know what you just said. Good Lord. You're saying... What do you mean by vetted through the... What do you mean counter-revolutionary?
Well, look, you guys, either you know what you're talking about or you don't, okay? I want to get on the phone here, though. Rudy Canoza, who has been traveling, and Rudy does a lot... Not only has he been traveling, but he's been traveling to some very interesting places here over the last... 5 years, including our good friends there in China, which has most recently been the center of the world's attention in the last several years with their own presentation of the Olympics. And Rudy, of course, the owner of Je T'aime Lingerie in the San Fernando Valley. Although, are you, I don't know if you're in the store, if you're opening right now, Rudy, but the last time we had you on the air, we had a lot of foghorns and stuff, didn't we?
We did, Phil, but tonight we are doing a relatively calm business tonight, and I think I can have the time to speak to you about these matters.
So let me ask you about the business side of things for Russia and China. It's not like these are two ideologically strict communist states. I know that China ostensibly is, but China is on a market basis in terms of its relations with the world, and internally, it's a system that's using a limited form of free enterprise, even though they sort of pay this lip service to communism. The Russians would love to be in the free enterprise game, you know, 3,000%, but they're still trying to work out things like, oh, I don't know, graft, corruption, theft, you know, police corruption, so on and so forth. So how significant a threat are these countries to our own economic system?
That's a good question.
All right, let me ask you another question. Are they buying lingerie in Russia?
Oh, they buy lingerie in Russia. I didn't know anything of what you. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to ask me about the traveling these parts of the world.
Okay, you can. Yeah, I'll ask you about that. You've traveled to Russia. You've traveled to China. What have you seen on as they say, with your boots on the ground?
Well, what I've seen in these countries is a great many people that are running around looking for a way to be happy, and among them, of course, are the women. But one of the things that I've noticed among the women in China and the women in Russia is they don't respond to the traditional greetings, the traditional Latin greetings. So if I see the woman in China, la 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 la, she thinks I'm speaking a dialect of Mandarin Chinese. Can you believe that, Phil?
Okay, we'll be right back with Rudy Canosa, Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah, if I see la 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 la.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. On the 15th of March, we're going to a new start time. It will be 9 a.m. on the Pacific Coast, noon on the East Coast. A new start time on TuneIn, on our Listen Live line at philhendryshow.com, as well as on Phil TV. So if you are watching the show live, as it happens, 9 a.m. beginning March 15th, it will be a outside two-hour show, and it will be a daily at a time and at a place, I think, that's going to be a lot more accessible. I think being on at night is fine, but there's no need for us to be on at night anymore.
Well, why did you have the show on at night because of the difficulties, with the material?
Well, all right, I tell you what we can do is bring David G. Hall back on the program. David has been involved in the syndication of our show on the radio level, and he joins us on our newsmaker line. You know, David, we have you on the show doing a lot of hit and miss and, you know, just 2 or 3 minutes here and there. But let's talk about this, because this is a completely different configuration. We're no longer on radio stations. We're on smartphones.
Oh, yeah, that is the idea, Phil. The smartphone, according to you, is the new transistor radio or the new mobile radio. Maybe you're right. It seems very strange. It's a difficult thing for me to get used to.
And yet we've had this discussion.
Well, I know we've had the discussion, and you're right. I mean, everyone has a smartphone. The radio station still reaches a lot of people.
But they're reaching a lot of people with talk radio, the kind of talk radio I don't do.
Well, you know, I've tried to get you to moderate your material, you know.
And I've moderated the material, haven't I?
What I asked you to do was to go back to the news talk formula and to be more sympathetic to a
conservative point of view. I'm not saying you got to be Bill O'Reilly. I'm not saying you got to be, you know, Sean Hannity.
Oh, my God. So, in other words, what you wanted Phil to do was to do another conservative talk show.
I asked Phil to bring his humor to it, because, frankly, I don't think Limbaugh's funny anymore. I think there was a big, wide-open door that Phil could have gone strolling right through. He could have been the new Limbaugh that's funnier and hipper, and it would have, I think it would have been, he would have knocked it clean out of the park if he would have just been more, you know, conservative. But you didn't want to do that. You thought you knew what you wanted to do, and so now, you know, you missed the opportunity.
Okay, can I make a comment on that?
Well, you're asking me, wait a minute, I'm not done yet, you know, you're asking me my opinion. Now, the other thing would have been, actually, I don't have anything more to say, but I don't want to hear you, I don't want to hear you talk again.
Yeah, I know, he doesn't like me talking because the stuff I say makes too much sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense, I can tell you that right now.
Hold on for a minute. You can't get a guy on the radio to do a show that he doesn't believe in. You want me to be the new conservative host because Rush ain't funny anymore, and I'd be a lot funnier. And how do you know that's going to win?
Because that's what they want. They want the conservative thing, okay? They want a guy that's conservative but that's good. And right now they haven't got too many good ones. They got a lot of conservatives. See, they got Limbaugh. He's good. But Hannity ain't any good, and neither is the other guy. What's his name? Who's the other guy?
Glenn Beck?
No, not Beck. Savage? Yeah, that guy. Savage is okay, but he's a little cuckoo. And after that, it just drops off like a rock, man. I mean, it's like you're just going off a cliff. From Rush and Savage and Beck and those guys, the next one down, it's a drop of about 300 feet to the rocky shores below, which is Michael Medved country, and... Oh, Jesus. You know...
Boy, you really are complimentary to those guys, aren't you?
Hey, look, I'm telling it like it is, my man. I'm telling it like it is, okay? You go from the Rush Limbaugh level of broadcasting and maybe the Glenn Beck and that, and then to get to the Michael Medveds and the G. Gordon Liddys and the Dennis Pragers, it's a drop of about 300 feet, and you'll die when you hit the bottom.
What, are you crying?
I am very emotional.
David G. Hall is our guest here. He's an official guest. He hasn't just called in while on the road looking for a See's candy outlet with Daphne.
That's not fair, Phil. That is not fair.
Well, that's what you've done. I mean, you just pop right on the air anytime you feel like it, talking to me about making a donut run.
And were you guys with the donut run?
Are you the guy that told us that in the first place?
Yeah, you did, Mr. Hall. Yeah, I say, yeah, I'm on a donut run with Daphne. Let me talk to Phil.
I don't say that. I call you up and go, yeah, I'm on a donut run with Daphne.
Well, you always say you're on a donut run.
I don't use the words donut run. If I say anything, I'll say I'm out with Daphne. We're looking for donuts.
Okay, big difference.
I think it is.
All right, so in other words, you would want me to do what every cheesy program director in the history of the world would want any guy to do, and that is go ahead and be something you're not. Just become a conservative host and spout a lot of anti-Obama stuff and be funny doing it. And that's going to what? That's the magic potion, huh?
I'm telling you right now, if you'd agreed to have done that, I could have put you on probably 100 stations right off the bat, and we would have put you up against Rush Limbaugh on the Cumulus stations, because they ain't got Limbaugh. They got Cumulus has got whoever they got. They got Savage. Savage, he's dead. Savage is dead, okay? And so's Hannity. So you could have been there, and you could have been the guy, but you didn't want to do that. You want to do this.
This what, David? What are you? What is it that Phil's doing now? This what?
Okay, don't get your feelings hurt. All right.
Well, what is it I'm doing right now?
Well, you're not talking politics.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
You know, David, we're doing what we're doing. The reason why we put you on the show tonight is to talk to you about the fact that we're leaving the radio platform. We're going on to onto a web platform, digital platform. We are going to provide podcasts. We're going to do the show live. We are going to make ourselves available that way. Now, you know, I said that a smartphone is every bit as good as any portable mobile radio anywhere. And how is that not true?
I mean, I don't even know how. I don't think people know how it works. You got a phone, and I use the phone, and I call people. Now you're telling me to do what? What do you ask me to do?
I'm not asking you to do anything that if you are a typical consumer that you aren't doing already. And that is put an app on your phone and listen to audio content through that app. A lot of people are doing it anyway with Pandora. They're doing it with Spotify. They're doing it with iTunes. You know.
Well, okay, that's it. They're doing Spotify and iTunes and Pandora, and they're listening to music. What makes you think they want to listen to a talk show?
Well, they're listening to them now, aren't they?
They're listening to them now. Well, I don't get it. You know.
Yeah, you get it.
And the other thing is, you guys think you're going to go on the air and start using dirty words and C and F and F this and C that and F it and. Oh, man, sure, yeah, right. People aren't going to punish you. And the fact that there's no FCC, that doesn't mean there isn't going to be people coming down on you. I mean, there's going to be some very, very pissed off people, I think.
And well, what are they going to do? What, they can stop listening.
Yeah, they can stop listening.
Okay, so what?
I don't know how you guys, you know, I don't know where you think. You know, the thing that really makes me angry is that you're making money, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
I mean, so in other words, you're making money with subscriptions to the website, is that it?
Yeah, you know how it works, yeah. Why does that make you angry?
Yeah, I want an answer to that question, too. Why does that piss you off, Hall?
It pisses me off because this guy is not doing it the way he's... We got advertisers, Henry, that would like to buy ad time.
Let them buy ad time.
But they don't want to buy ad time with a guy that's got subscribers.
Well, then that's their tough luck. You know, I mean, I'm not going to blow off subscribers running ads, okay? Subscribers are subscribers, and one of the reasons why they pay that money is because they don't want to hear ads.
Well, I don't know how you... See, that's the part that I got to go back and I got to report this to guys that I know.
Well, I don't know what to tell you other than the fact that, you know, we were forced into that business model because guys like you were unsuccessful in making the advertising model work.
That's the biggest load of cow dung I've ever heard in my life.
No, it's not, David. Why am I doing what I'm doing?
Because you want to go your own way, man. You're a hard head. Just like the man said, you got a hard head, okay? You want to beat the wall open with your head instead of one step to your left and go to the door. That's Henry. There's a door, but Phil would rather beat his head to the wall until he makes a hole and then crawl through it. Opening the door and going through would take all of 5 seconds. Phil wants to beat his head into the wall, open up a hole, crawl through it. That takes a half hour, probably, if he's lucky, and then go directly to the hospital with a concussion and a fractured skull. And that's a 24-hour workday that Phil thinks is very well spent.
What are you talking about, man?
Dad, talking about beat his head in.
That's exactly the way I see it.
Because I ain't doing things your way.
Because you're not doing things.
Why don't you face it, Hall? Henry's doing it a different way. And you don't have... You're not getting your beak wet.
Getting my beak wet? What is this, Godfather 2?
You know, you're not getting your beak wet. You're not dipping your beak.
What is this, dipping my beak? What is that?
It's Godfather 2.
You know something? You sound like you're coming back down with emphysema, whatever the hell it is you got.
You're the guy that sounds like he's got emphysema. Look, I'll tell you what, David. You're welcome to come along with me as long as we're quoting The Godfather 2. You're allowed to come along with me.
Come on, spit it out there, Daffy.
You're allowed to come along with me as long as you want to do some of the things that I want to do.
What do you mean, Godfather 2? That sounds like you want to hide in some bushes at a park where kids play. No, thank you. There.
All right, David, did he hang up?
Yeah, he hung up.
No, you didn't, because I'm talking to you.
Why are people so dumb they don't know they've...
I don't know. Hanging up phones, traditional phones, are only used on this show and by people that call it. We don't have anybody calling our show using a cell phone. Everybody that calls our show has a phone you have to hang up, and most people don't know how to do that. So...
Oh, I see. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it does. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com makes about as much sense as anything else. We'll be back with more here on this Friday night, live and mobile on TuneIn and philhendryshow.com. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So anyway, the upshot of all of that was...
On the 15th of March, Phil Hendry is going to the web platform.
Exactly. And that starts at 9 a.m., and we will have a podcast of the show available every day for 5 days. Then it goes behind our paywall, as we like to say. So, yeah, we had a bad rainstorm, and I think as far as the sleep thing goes, things are getting better. What have we not taken care of this hour that we were starting to take care of?
Well, you wanted to talk. You guys all of a sudden got sidetracked because we were talking about Russia.
What about the Crimea and all that?
We already talked about that crap.
What about Crimea?
We already talked about that crap, okay? I'm done with that.
You don't care? The Chinese are making the Pacific Ocean...
I know, their own personal bathtub.
So what? Let them have it.
Can't let the Chinese... Are you nuts or something?
You don't let the Chinese have a bathtub? Have the Pacific Ocean's own bathtub? Are you out of your mind? Remember when they bombed Pearl Harbor?
The Chinese didn't bomb Pearl Harbor. The Japanese did. Oh.
Well, big wow. I mean, six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Oh, so you think they all look alike. Did you get a load of that, folks?
Well, it got you six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Phil already said that. The point being, Margaret, something that you can't understand, you and a lot of other weepy mothers, is the Pacific Ocean has long been America's domain. You turn that over to the Chinese, you turn that over to the red Chinese, and you've got the whole Pacific Ocean is red. And we don't need that.
You're right down to their pink underwear.
You got that right.
Down to their pink underwear.
Okay, thank you very much, Bud, for quoting Nixon. We don't need to be talking anymore about the Russians and the Crimea and the Chinese.
What about the Crimea?
Bud wanted to know about Crimea.
What about Crimea?
Ain't that where they had the light brigade?
So they had the light brigade. What about it?
Yeah, that's a cluster bang. You know, they had the light brigade out there, man. We don't want to get messing around on that.
Well, they do have a point, but I think we've got far better tactics today than we've ever had before.
What are you worried about, Bud? You worried about America getting into a charge of the light brigade thing again?
Well, so what happened the last time.
Oh, give me a break, will you? Are you that weird? You must be nuts or something.
I looked at a Google satellite shot of the Crimea, and I saw a Google satellite shot of Sebastopol. Sebastopol. Do you know where this is, Phil?
Crimea?
Very good guess.
Thank you.
You're a real smartass, aren't you?
Now hold on for a minute. Go on.
Anyway, Sebastopol looks very, I would say, prosperous. There are a great many yachts.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it is. It's right there on the Crimean Ocean, or what's it called?
The Crimean Ocean. Get a load of him.
It's called the sea, Mr. Henry.
The what?
The sea.
The Crimean Sea, I'm sorry. So what about it?
Well, I think what Bud's worried about is the charge of the Light Brigade. Those guys went right down into the Valley of Death, and they got eaten up like they were fed right into a meat grinder. You want that to happen to America? No.
It ain't gonna happen to America. That was the most stumble-bum thing that ever happened in the history of the world, the charge of the Light Brigade. Are you nuts?
What are you talking about, Mr. Henry?
What am I talking about? The charge of the Light Brigade was a dumbass move. Everybody knows that.
Wait just a second.
Are you trying to say those heroic men were dumbass?
I'm not saying they were dumbass. I'm saying the charge was dumbass. Everybody knows that. It's not a secret.
I know nothing about a charge of the Light Brigade being dumbass.
It was a complete dumbass maneuver. The charge of the Light Brigade by the British, by that brigade of British soldiers, was a suicide mission. They were trying to break through. They were trying to break through these Russian lines. They were trying to make something happen. And back in those days, when they didn't have tanks, they didn't have the armored strike, they didn't have air power where they could come in and soften the lines up before you send the infantry in. Back in those days, there was only one way of doing it. You laid in the artillery and you sent in the troops, and you hoped to God that the artillery did enough of a job where your soldiers could go in and overwhelm the lines. But the British couldn't do it. And finally, they sent the Light Brigade in there. It was a complete and utter disaster. They were outmanned. They were outflanked. They were being picked off as they rode into the Valley of Death, as the poem says. And they turned what was a horrific defeat into this epic poem of bravery. And yes, you know, love of king and country and all that bullcrap. But those guys, they got their asses handed to them.
I thought that was a big W.
Yeah, I thought they put that in the win column.
A big W, huh? No, I don't think so.
Man, but people ought to read the history better.
Yeah, I think so. No way. Charge of the Light Brigade, the whole poem. All you gotta do is read the poem. They got their asses handed to them.
Wow. And here I thought, well, see, that's the whole thing then.
What, are you guys high on something, man? Who's going to go down? We're not getting in a war with Russia, I can tell you that right now. It ain't going to happen. Why are we going to get into a war with Russia?
Well, right here it says that Obama is talking tough to the Russians.
I don't know, man.
You can't talk tough to the Russians unless you've got a way, unless you better know what you're going to do.
Well, if Obama wants to talk tough to the Russians, I think there's only one thing he can do. And I think we all know what that is. His finger on the button.
Uh-oh.
Barry, you think so?
Yes, I absolutely do think so.
You know, rather cavalier of a woman who spends most of her time interviewing fashion, going down to the promenade and eating... get out of here.
Going down to the promenade and eating what?
Going to the promenade and eating biscotti and sucking down cappuccino like it's water. And now you want to put your finger on a guy's button.
I didn't say on a guy's button, you pervert.
Well, wait. Talk about atomic bombs.
Okay, let's not get crazy, all right?
Well, this woman's talking... She's talking about a limited nuclear strike, aren't you?
I'm talking that if Obama and the American people are serious about telling the Russians to back the hell up, yes, we've got to bring it and bring it big. Every megaton.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Well, what else are we going to do, Phil? I was talking to Frank the other night, and he said it's about time we dropped the big one.
How do you know he wasn't talking about a bowel movement after dinner? Thank you very much, boys. I'll be here every Friday night.
Well, you can laugh all you want. You know what you are, General? You're the male version of a butter hog. You're big and fat and...
I'll have you know I'm 180 pounds soaking wet. Wouldn't you like to know what's underneath this, is this a wool sweater, Phil?
Phil's wool, yeah.
Will you stop it with the wool sweater? I'm making some points here.
You're not making any point at all. This conversation's over. Every megaton. Nuclear weapons, huh? You know, it's funny thing about nuclear weapons. We're all afraid of nuclear weapons. Nobody's ever used, except we've used nuclear weapons.
Yes, America used the nuclear weapon twice.
Okay. So now you think we ought to bring it again? You know, one of the things that I think is interesting, if anybody's interested...
Doing what?
With all of the fear of nuclear weapons being in the hands of madmen, the last time they were used was World War II. They haven't been used since. They have not been used since. They have been held out of every war that's been fought. They have been kept in storage, man. They're in, they're in dry, or whatever you have, what do you call that? They're up in the attic, man. They are not being used. So how crazy are we if we haven't used them?
Well, that's just it, so it's time to start using them.
Get a load of you.
I'm speaking on behalf of Frank.
Get Frank on the phone, and we'll talk to him. I think I'd love to hear the case he makes.
Yeah, especially start calling Putin her.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Back with our final hour here on this Friday night after these marvelous messages and, a little break. Welcome back here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this Friday night here. I guess this is the last Friday night in the month of February, and then in a few weeks it's springtime, you know?
Well, things have sort of moved along, haven't they, in this wintertime?
They really have. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's this period of my life or something. I used to dread... One of the things that ain't happening to me anymore is because I'm not getting colds and flu any longer, you know, because I go ahead, I get that damn shot. Every time I tell somebody about a flu shot, I got the same argument with people, you know. Nah, it doesn't work. I had an argument with somebody the other day who said, we found out it worked, that doesn't work. Really? I mean, I'm here in front of you. I've had at least 3 colds a year since the time I was 5. I mean, I've had bronchitis and tonsillitis through my 20s, and then from my 20s on into my, into about 4 or 5 years ago, I was getting bronchitis and all kinds of chest infections and colds and sinus infections, just like everybody that I know. Everybody I know, every age of everybody that I know, sick, 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 sick. Like Alex, man, one of our guys, he's sick.
Oh, what does Alex have? He has a cold?
Yeah, I talked to him today. He said he's got a cold.
Yeah, he's got a cold. and other people have colds, and another person are staying home, and they're sick, and they're colds, and they're sick, and they're colds, and they're sick, and they got colds, okay? Now, me, I ain't had one, man, since I got in the hospital. I came out of the hospital, I'm getting these flu shots, right? What do I get from people? No, they don't work. Really? I'm telling you, they do work. I'm standing here in front of you.
Well, how do you know they're working? I know, Phil. Hold on.
How do you know? The man's not getting any flu or anything.
Hold on, General. How can you be sure that's the flu shot and not the natural immunities that you have built up over time?
Yeah, that's a good point, Miss Henry.
The natural immunities that I've built up over time?
Yes.
Okay. Don't you find that coincidental?
Now, hold on. Just then you went, you see, you're not sure which way to go with it. I've already got you.
No.
Yeah, we did. You went,
You stutter-stepped.
You sort of did, Phil. You went,
If I did that, it's because I didn't know which brilliant point I wanted to make first. I had about five or six lined up to completely shut Margaret down, and I just was trying to decide, and I was overwhelmed at my own brilliance. There. You happy?
Boy, get a load of you.
Yeah, well, let me just explain. My natural immunities didn't protect me up until... It sure as hell didn't keep me from getting swine flu, man. Didn't keep me from getting pneumonia. Didn't keep me from all kinds of sickness that I had, right? My natural immunity. All of a sudden, now I got natural immunities. When did I get those?
After you got in the hospital and you was exposed to all the sick people.
You guys will, you know, you'll say anything and you'll believe anything just to not admit to me that flu shots are any good at all. All of this stuff about how this stuff causes autism, man, I'm getting real tired of this jazz. The thing that got me really pissed off was when I read that whooping cough or something is, there's an outbreak of it now. And so here's the deal. I won't get my kid vaccinated. So now my kid is not carrying around the potential autism-causing vaccine. Instead, he's a carrier of all kinds of illness and disease and sickness that he can infect other kids with and put them all in an early grave. Way to do it, baby.
Hey.
Well, I can't believe you'd applaud something like that, Dickman.
I'm being for what Mr. Henry calls a feces.
I didn't say feces, facetious.
Wow.
Well.
But the point is well made, bud. Thank you. And...
Well, Phil, the jury is out.
The jury ain't out on anything. The jury's not out on anything. I don't care what doctor wrote a book. I want to know what the settled science is. And until such time as somebody can say, well, we've got critical mass on this, and we really need to rethink this, they don't. They do not. They don't have that. What they do have is this. They've got not vaccinating kids means more sick kids. That's what's happening. We got that. That's right in front of our faces. I'm not going to get a vaccine for this. I'm not going to get a vaccine for that.
Well, yeah, you're not talking about getting a vaccine. You're talking about like getting a flu shot. That's different from having the mumps.
Yeah, you didn't get the mumps or anything, did you?
No, I haven't had the mumps. I've never had the mumps.
Oh, my God. So you're a carrier for the mumps.
But wait a minute. Wait. I have asked doctors, should I go ahead and get a mumps vaccine at my age? And they've said no. You know, when I first married Maria... And I knew that I was about to become the stepfather of four little tiny kids. Don't you think that I was worried about that? I remember thinking, oh, man, I'm a dead man walking. Because the minute we get married and I move in, there'll be every kind of deadly disease and virus.
Oh, come on, Henry. Are you out of your mind?
I'm kidding a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, that is true.
Well, you were worried, though.
I was kind of worried, yeah. I was worried that... I said to her, I've had the chicken pox and I had measles. I never had mumps. And of the three, mumps sounds badass. You know, chicken pox was nothing. Measles sucked. The measles that I had as a kid, I had a bad fever. I was sick as a dog. But freaking mumps doesn't sound like any walk in the park at all, man.
Yeah, and I can't. Your testicles explode, or not explode, but they get swolled up and everything, don't they?
What are you talking about?
Will you shut up? No, they don't.
What do you mean your testicles get swolled up?
My understanding is, and I never had the mumps either, Phil, but I don't believe in I'll get the mumps because I'm just not around anyone that's ever had the mumps, nor will I allow it anywhere near me.
You've got grandkids.
Well, I've got grandkids, yes, but they've all been vaccinated. I try to ensure that everyone that comes within 100 feet of me has had a vaccination of some kind for some kind of a disease. So that I can feel as if I'm safe, even though I probably am not. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying that I try to ensure the safety of my own, if I can put it in the crude army term, I try to ensure the safety of my own ass. All right?
General.
Now, Margaret, I'm trying to make a point. To the extent that I can, I check certificates of vaccination for most of the people that come within contact of me.
For certificates of vaccination? You've never seen my certificate of vaccination.
No, but I did, remember, you gave me that physical, that report from your doctor, where you had had the flu shot, and you'd just gotten out of the hospital.
Boy, now that I think about it, did you give him?
I did, yes.
I don't know what it is I'm giving you my medical history for. You're the guy working for me, and I haven't seen yours.
Hey, let me tell you something, my friend. I'm as clean as a baby's ass, and you can quote me. What is so funny about that?
Talking about being clean as a baby's ass.
And you can quote me. That's the part that I liked.
Well, you can.
I can assure you I won't be quoting you anytime soon. That was vulgar.
Margaret, please, please accept my sincere apologies. Not.
Okay. Say that again.
Has he had the shingles vaccination?
What about that, General?
What do you mean the shingles vaccination? Is that the chicken pox?
Basically. Once you've had the chicken pox, you can get shingles if you don't have the vaccination.
Oh, I haven't. What about you, Henry? Didn't you get the pox?
I had chicken pox, yeah. Should I get it too?
Yes.
What about you? Did you have chicken pox? No, you didn't, because you were one of those kids that got vaccinated for that stuff.
I had it.
You had chicken pox?
Yep. That stuff didn't start happening until I was probably in my late teens, where kids were mandated.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It was a rite of passage.
It was a rite of passage for me, too. Yeah, we all had chicken pox. Remember itching like a son of a bitch when it was going away?
I almost ended up in the hospital.
Oh, you poor baby. I had measles like a sucker, man. I mean, I had measles when I was 10, and I was a sick dog. And then I was in my early 20s, and I was here in California, and I don't know, we were out drinking one weekend. I felt kind of like I was coming down with the flu, right? And I went over to my mom's house. And I took my shirt off in the bathroom, and I'm looking at these red spots on my side and on my chest. And my mother's standing there. She goes, "Oh, my goodness, you have the chicken pox. I mean, measles. You have the measles, honey." I said, "Measles? Are you kidding me?" She goes, "Well, you had the bad measles." So she said, "These are probably the German measles, the 24-hour ones or 48-hour ones?"
What do you call them German for?
Well, obviously, did they originate in Germany?
Yeah, sure. That's where they started. I don't know. But I had those measles, and anyway, I guess we ought to get the shingles vaccine.
I'm not getting any shingles vaccine. What do I look like, some old lady in a bib? That's the kind of thing that an old woman does when she wears a bib and she's being transported.
I lost you there, General.
Yeah, I did too.
You know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean, but all right, that's a good one to think about, man, a shingles vaccine. That's great. All right, so for those of you who had the chicken pox, get your shingles vaccine. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And, of course, tune in. We are live and mobile. And on our Listen Live line, we are live and mobile as well. Check it out, philhenryshow.com. Hello? Yeah. God.
Why don't you get somebody who knows how to push the buttons better?
I know I can push your buttons.
Yeah. Smile when you say that.
Anyway, thank you, General. Thank you, Margaret. And thank you. It's a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And it's kind of a lazy Friday night. I think we're all drying out here, but I did want to make note of George Lopez had a bit of a problem in Canada. George Lopez is, quote, usually a stand-up comic, so writes Christy DeZarillo in the L.A. Times, but Thursday night in Canada appeared to be more of a passed-out-on-the-floor comic and was subsequently arrested on suspicion of public intoxication, according to reports on Friday. He made a statement on Show Tracker, or maybe it was a Twitter statement that was picked up by Show Tracker. Tied one on last night. Not feeling so great this morning. I was trying to sleep it off. Unfortunately, it was on a casino floor. No charges were filed against George, according to TMZ, which said Lopez was put in a drunk tank to sober up and was later released.
Now, you know George Lopez to some extent, don't you?
I've met him. He's a wonderful guy. He really is. He's a very nice man. He's a very humble guy. In fact, when I read the headline here, it says George Lopez humble as he jokes about drunken arrest in Canada. I believe that because he's a guy that has often been quoted as saying, somebody asked him once, do you mind giving autographs? He said, I waited 30 years to give autographs. Why would I mind, you know?
No, so that means he doesn't mind, right?
Yeah, that means he doesn't mind. It means he's... So before his arrest, the 52-year-old performer was photographed, seemingly passed out on the floor of Caesars Windsor, where he had just performed in a scheduled... He just performed in this place. Now he gets hammered in the joint, and he's on the floor there. He is scheduled to perform there tonight. The photo was posted on Twitter with the caption, George Lopez passed out at the casino last night. Gee, that's great. Casino security was alerted to the situation when Lopez was seen on the floor.
That's not too cool of people.
No, it wasn't. Look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It does not matter at all. Where the days we live in, folks, these are days that we, I hope we remember these days, because we'll sell anybody out. We will sell, and I say we, I mean all of us. Maybe myself included. I don't know. But if we've got a picture, even of a good friend, if it's Twitter worthy, if it's something that's going to get us a whole bunch of followers, if it's something that's going to get us a whole bunch of attention, something that's going to get us some money, something that's going to get us somewhere, man, we'll post that stuff like you wouldn't. I mean, we'll stick that up on Instagram and everywhere else like, you know, like we're working for Perez Hilton, man. I mean, like we're with TMZ. It doesn't make any difference. And there's Lopez. Someone got his picture. Man, they slammed that up on Twitter.
Well, what? You don't have to have loyalty to George Lopez if you don't know him.
No, you're right. You don't. You don't. You're right. I mean, but I bet you money that the person that took that picture would probably call themselves a fan.
Well, that doesn't seem like a fan to me.
It doesn't seem like a fan to me either. But that's the way it is now. Somebody who's a fan would take that picture and put it on Twitter and still say that they're a fan.
Yeah, but you're sounding like just because George Lopez is a nice guy, like you're all saying he's all cool and everything.
No, I'm not.
Well, yeah, you are kind of.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. The guy got drunk. He got passed out on the floor. That's fine. Somebody took his picture. Did I say that he shouldn't have been arrested? Did I say any of that? I'm just saying somebody took his picture and put it on Twitter.
Yeah, so that's what people will do to put it on the Twitter.
But what I'm saying is, let me ask you a question. If you saw me passed out drunk on a floor, would you take my picture and put it on Twitter?
Oh, that's a good question, bud. Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Proof.
But that's different of you being on Twitter. Because you need the publicity.
Ha ha! That's beautiful, bud. Oh, I wish I would have thought of that one myself.
I'm not, you know, don't you think?
Because I need the publicity.
Well, there's a point, Mr. Henry.
Yeah. That's why you'd put it on there, huh?
Well, yeah.
Oh, my ass. You're telling me you'd put my picture on Twitter of me passed out drunk because you are doing that. You're looking out for me, huh?
Hold on for a minute, man. Yeah, I'm looking out for you on account of the publicity.
The publicity of me being passed out drunk on a casino floor. You think that's good publicity?
Bud, think about it. Give it some thought, you clown.
Leave me a clown. I mean...
You know what, man? You're just saying that to give yourself a good excuse to put my face on Twitter drunk and passed out on the floor. If you don't have a good excuse, then you sound like a jackball. And you want to sound cool.
Yeah, that's kind of true, bud. I mean... You know, are you telling me that wouldn't be cool publicity?
Me passed out drunk? No. God, no. Are you nuts?
Well, you did do drunk history.
Bingo. There's a good point right there. You did drunk history.
Okay, now hold on for just a minute.
Phil, you did.
Wait. Drunk history was not me passed out on a floor. Drunk history was me drunk. And I'm talking about Daniel Inouye, the great senator from Hawaii.
Yeah, you're all drunk on tequila, and you're trying to say some Japanese names and stuff. Everybody know that's going to sound jacked up.
Well, you don't know yet, man, because you haven't heard it, have you?
Well, I haven't heard it, but still all.
Look, guys, I'm sorry, you're not making the case. You ain't making the case with me that because I'm drunk on drunk history, it's the same thing as being passed out on a casino floor. It's completely different. Don't you think it's different if a guy is drunk and you got a picture of him, and another guy is drunk, and he's throwing up in a toilet?
Well, it's kind of about the same thing. Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing.
What? Are you high?
How do you figure that's the same thing? You two guys, I ought to knock your heads together just for the art of it.
Why do you say that?
Well, because if you're drunk...
If you're drunk, throwing up in a toilet, I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, right?
You talk about when you get too drunk.
Yes. When you get so drunk, you're puking into a toilet. Haven't you ever done that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're drunk and you're not thrown up in a toilet. You're just asleep on a floor.
And you're saying what?
I'm saying, well, forget about the sleep on a floor. I didn't mean to say that. You're drunk and you're just sitting on a couch and you're talking to somebody.
What?
Yeah, you messed it up.
You messed it up, Phil. You were doing good, and then you took the whole thing and turned it into a turd.
Yeah.
All right, let me do it one more time then, okay? You're drunk, and you're sitting on a couch.
No, it's too late now, man. You know.
Yeah, you let all the steam went out of it.
Jesus. I'm telling you.
Well, Phil, you know, you had a good point, and then you carved that thing a new ass.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to just say this, you know. George Lopez is a nice man. I'm sorry I got into trouble. You know, watch yourself, George. Don't drink and drive. And it's very characteristic of him that he would be self-effacing and make fun of himself. So good for him. And I'm glad he's cool. Casino security was alerted. Security got law enforcement involved. He'll be back on TV on March 6th with the premiere of his comedy St. George on FX. It's his first starring role in a sitcom since The George Lopez Show wrapped its six-season run in 2007. He hosted his own TBS talk show, Lopez. I was in the hospital when that show was on the air. I laughed my ass off, man, when I was watching Lopez. So that's the news there about George Lopez. Now, the other news here that I think is...
Now, George is not going to be upset that you said that he's cool, even though he was passed out drunk on a floor... And you got in an argument with Bud saying that at least he wasn't throwing up in a toilet.
What are you saying?
You heard me.
Margaret.
No, I just want to make sure that Phil didn't run afoul.
I didn't run afoul of anything. I don't even know what it is you just said.
I repeated back what you said.
Yeah, when you said...
Oh, don't worry about it, Bud. Bitcoin exchange Mt. Gox files for bankruptcy. What is Bitcoin exchange? As the Bitcoin exchange Mt. Gox was careening toward collapse in early February, its owner, Mark Capellas, found that even some fellow virtual currency advocates were losing faith. Members of the Bitcoin Foundation's board, an important promoter of virtual currencies, were losing confidence because the exchange had been associated with another foundation member who was arrested in January on money laundering charges. The young currency in recent months had been increasingly backed by prominent investors, but the taint of criminal activity was starting to take over the headlines. Some wanted Karpeles, chief executive of Mt. Gox, the Tokyo-based site that once had been the go-to place to buy Bitcoins, to either resign from the foundation or be removed from its board, according to people briefed on the matter. It was that steady erosion of faith in the Bitcoin community that ultimately served as the death knell for Mt. Gox, which had been enduring a series of problems, including having accounts frozen by authorities in the United States last year. Without the public backing of Bitcoin believers, Mt. Gox lacked the ability to get the financing it needed, those familiar with the discussion say. This is virtual currency. I don't know a damn thing about it.
Well, there's so much going on that you're supposed to stay up on. I think it's all... It's ridiculous.
What do you mean, virtual currency?
Virtual currency, meaning it's just internet currency. It's currency that one would use. It's probably no different from just, you know, bank wiring of monies, of zeros. You know, no real dollar bills or gold is moving around. Or is it? I don't know.
Nice to know. You got it under control, Mr. Henry.
Hey, pal, you know, I got it more under control than you do, bud. Giving me a hard time. Talking about George Lopez on the floor or whatever the hell else it was. We'll be back in the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
I didn't say anything about George Lopez, about him laying on the floor.
No, but you don't know the difference between a guy throwing up into a toilet and a guy just sitting there having a drink, okay? We're going to be right back on the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We are live and mobile on TuneIn and on our Listen Live line at philhenryshow.com.
I'm so glad, I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm glad. Don't know what to do.
Hello, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm kind of interested in this Bitcoin thing.
What? I don't know what Bitcoin is.
Well, it's a virtual currency, from what I understand.
Yeah, it is. It is a virtual currency, and it has been used online as a virtual currency. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is joining us to give us a little insight on Bitcoin. And Ted is actually speaking to us from his car on the way home from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Kind of taking the night off early, Ted?
Going home and relaxing here on a Friday night. It's not often that I get out of the restaurant here early on a Friday night, but it's my wife's birthday, Marcy's birthday, so we've got some friends that are over. We're going to have a little celebration, and we're going to, have a nice, relaxing evening.
Did you hear the news about Bitcoin?
I'm sorry, did I hear the news about Bitcoin?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Well, there apparently Bitcoin is filing for bankruptcy.
Bitcoin is filing for bankruptcy. When did you read that?
I just read that tonight. I wanted to get your opinion on it.
You want to get my opinion on it? You know that I got money in it, right?
No, I did not.
Oh, you're kidding, Ted.
No, I'm not kidding. Well, okay.
Do you mind telling me how much you've got in there?
Well, oh, God.
You got money in Bitcoin.
Yeah, I got money in Bitcoin. We're on the air, aren't we? All right, folks. Well, Phil Henry has caught Ted Bell here at a disadvantage, although I am Ted Bell, and I want you to come to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I get so tired of pitching. You tell me what you know, and I'll tell you what I know, Phil. If we can do it that way, I think we're going to make a lot of progress on this thing. I'm a little taken aback. What do you know? What do you know, and I'll tell you what I know, and when you get it, I get it.
All right, well, what I know is that Bitcoin has filed for bankruptcy because the assets, the backing, has steadily dried up ever since the arrest of this guy, Charlie Shrem, in Los Angeles. Mr. Shrem was arrested by, or he was arrested by authorities, I should say, in New York. he's from Los Angeles. He was arrested on money laundering charges, and apparently that news has not redounded well among Bitcoin investors.
Charlie Shrem got arrested in New York. When was that?
January 26th. Do you know him?
Yeah, I know who he is. And I didn't know anything about him getting arrested. January 26th he got arrested?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know something? I got involved in this. I put some dollars into it. I put six figures into it, if you want to know. It's not going to break me, but I don't like losing money, and I sure don't like seeing... I put a fair amount of money into it, okay?
You put low six figures?
I don't want to comment, all right? I'm not going to... What I don't ever do is I don't tell people how much money I've invested in anything, Phil, because I don't want people to think that I'm parading my you know, the success of my business or parading my money. So I never, ever comment on how much money that I put into any particular capital investment. And I certainly am not going to start doing that tonight. But it was about $100,000 for me and for the...
I thought you weren't going to say how much.
Well, you guys are pushing me.
I don't think we pushed you. You said you didn't want to say anything. I didn't hear Phil pushing you.
General, I know how this thing works. Phil says, can you tell me how much? No, I don't want to say it. But as I was saying, no, I don't want to say it, I realized that you guys weren't going to let up. You were going to lean on me and lean on me and lean on me like a pack of jackals. Until I finally spit it out. So there it was, $100,000. Thank God I can afford to lose it. Thank God I can afford to lose it. But never in my wildest dreams did I think they were going to go belly up because of money laundering.
Well, what happened? No, they didn't money launder. It was a member of their board that got arrested for it. The police, the authorities said there is no evidence linking this group, this Bitcoin exchange, this Mt. Gox, no evidence at all linking them to any money laundering. It happened to be one of the board members. However, the company's going under, and...
The company's going under. That means that I've got to wait around for my money. Man, I'll get, 10 cents, 20 cents on a dollar if I'm lucky enough? I got to tell you something, Phil, and I think this has happened quite a bit in recent years. Even those of us who are successful, and I think a lot of people are going to be very interested in this. You think that because a man has money, a lot of you folks out there think that because a guy is a part of the 1%, which, yes, I am. I am part of the 1%. I don't shy away from that. I don't run in fear from that. I am part of the 1%, but if you think because a guy is a part of the 1%, he's immune to being taken into a darkened room, have the door closed, and have him bound and gagged with a ball, and then they...
Okay, I understand. Being taken advantage of.
Yes, being taken advantage of. You want to put it mildly, yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. If you think this sounds like a guy's being taken advantage of, who's that remind you of? You got it, Ving Rhames. And that's exactly...
All right, I don't need to listen to this, Ted. You don't have to be that graphic. We understand what you're saying.
You know, Bell, you've got a way of putting things that's a little weird, if you don't mind me saying.
Well, you know what? It's a weird world, General. You ought to know that. And I can tell you this right now. It is a figurative thing that I'm saying. I don't appreciate being told by people, hey, this is the next big thing, this digital currency, and I put $100,000 into it just to help a friend out. And the next thing I hear is from a guy on a talk show. I'm on the radio here. I am exposed for all the world. And I'm being told, oh, hi, Ted, how you doing? Well, guess what? That $100,000, it's in the toilet, man. Go ahead and throw that. See, now I'm looking at the TV. Is that a chick? I'm looking at the TV. One of the kids got the portable TV. Is that a woman? It is. It's a guy. They got two guys holding hands on TV. What do you think about that? So,
I don't know. I mean, why? What has that got to do with anything?
I don't know. I just saw that my son, Josh, whatever. I know. It's one of these crime shows. There was two guys walking down the street holding hands. See, and you're telling me that I lost $100,000 and I got taken into a back room.
Ted, you know, everything with you is you're taken into a back room or you're...
I work and I live in the hardball world of business. And my friend, when something like this happens, it feels like a violation. I can tell you that.
All right, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is on the line with us. Can you tell me, if you don't mind, Ted, what is Bitcoin? What is this virtual currency and how does it work?
All right, well, look, Mt. Gox is the world's biggest, or at least they were the world's biggest Bitcoin exchange. And when they stopped trading, I guess, and all of this confidence has been shaken, but Bitcoin was... roll the window up, will you? I'm sorry, Phil. I got Marcy and Josh. We're heading back home for a birthday celebration. Just roll the window up, will you? I'm not in the mood. Henry just blew it.
Wait. Hold on for a minute.
No, it's okay, but everybody's excited about Marcy's birthday. Happy birthday. I mean, you know I love you. Yeah. I don't give a damn now.
Ted, if you want to just stop, why don't you hang the phone up and enjoy your family, okay?
It's too late now. You call me up and tell me, guess what? Hey, Ted, it's Phil Hendry. You lost $100,000. How do you feel about that? I got my wife in the car.
I had no idea that your wife was in the car with you or your son.
Well, you do now, don't you?
I didn't do it on purpose.
I know that. I appreciate that. What, honey? Hold on. It's my wife. What? I don't give a good damn. Yeah, let's get some ice cream, sure. Huh? Yeah, ice cream. I don't give a sweet.
Boy, aren't you just the life of the party.
You know, Ted, don't take it out on your family.
I'll thank you to mind your own business, if you don't mind.
Listen, Ted, don't take it out on your family. I am minding my business.
I'll thank you to mind your own business, if you don't mind.
Ted.
I'll thank you to mind your own business.
If you don't mind. We got it, Ted.
Well.
All right, so what is Bitcoin?
Hold on. What, honey? He's asking me about Bitcoin. We just lost $100,000. We just lost $100,000. Hey, Josh, Daddy just lost $100,000. You think I ought to be happy about Mommy's birthday? Hold on, Phil. I'm talking to my family, okay?
Are you driving the car?
Yeah. You don't think I can talk and drive at the same time? What? Well, happy birthday, honey. I love you very much. But Henry has just told me that you and me, our family, we just lost $100,000. You think I'm supposed to be happy now about your birthday? Yes. My wife said, yeah, you should. Okay. That shows you how much you care about me.
You know, you sound like a real baby. Boy, I can't even believe she wants to have her birthday party with you.
She's my wife. Why wouldn't she?
Because you're doing your very, very best to bum her out.
What are you talking about?
I can hear everything you're saying.
Ted, we can hear everything, and you're talking to Josh, and you're saying things like, Daddy lost $100,000. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm asking you, Josh. You haven't answered. Josh, Daddy's talking. What do you think about Daddy losing $100,000 on some scumbags in Japan? Yeah, my son, you know what he did? Now, I didn't do this. My son did this. He just pulled his eyes back like he was trying to pretend like he's Charlie Chan. See, I didn't do that. That is the world that did that to him.
You know what? I'm going to let you go, man. I want you to enjoy your family. And if you've got a son that is pulling that kind of stuff, being that kind of crude and racist...
I beg your pardon?
No. That kind of crude and racist humor, you need to sit down and talk with that boy. You don't need to be on the air with us talking about your Bitcoin.
Well, I just took it in the shorts to the tune of $100,000. Hold on, Marcy. Will you, for God's sake? Yes, we'll stop and get your chocolate ice cream. I just took it in the pants. The pants! For $100,000 in a clean pair of pants. And I'm not supposed to ask. I said to my son, what do you think about Daddy taking it in the pants for $100,000? And he went, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And he pulled his...
And I apologize, ladies and gentlemen.
Boy, that bill, you know, the sooner that guy gets to a psychiatrist, the better.
He does sound like he's...
I think the worst part of that is the way he was landed on his family. God, I didn't know it was his wife's birthday, for crying out loud. And then the guy is like, hey, you know, yeah, we'll get your ice cream. What a jackass. God, you know what? My father used to be like that.
You're kidding.
No, my dad would... My father had they had this great talent... For when everybody was happy, he'd all of a sudden just have some bummer going on, you know, and he'd just bring everybody down, man. And I remember later in life...
Well, you got to start... If you're going to start getting heavy, man, I want to go out and get myself some tangerine juice. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to bum you guys out.
Well, that's exactly what you just said Bell was doing.
That's a good point.
Yes, very good point. So Phil will be back, folks.
I'll do it, Margaret.
No, I'll do it. Phil will be back, ladies and gentlemen, with more, and we'll wrap up the show. And here's some real bummer downer music to go along with Phil's whole rap.
I'd like to do it.
No, no, just go get some tangerine. I'm Margaret Gray.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, online at TuneIn, live and mobile, online on our Listen live stream at philhendryshow.com, live and mobile. And when we say live and mobile, that is your, you know, your cell phone or your iPad or your tablet or your smartphone, whatever you got, we're there for you, and we will be. And on March the 15th, we are a completely web-based online radio show. Or if you will, web show, or if you will, webcast, or if you will...
Or if you won't.
Or if you won't, whatever the hell, virtual show. It's a show, but it's a virtual show. And maybe one of these days we'll start taking just bitcoins. Is Bitcoin, I wonder if Bitcoin is a way of buying stuff and only buying stuff on the internet. For instance, like we have a subscription service, our radio show and our audio and all of the stuff that we have, the 5,000, more than 5,000 hours of audio, we could take Bitcoin for subscription money, right?
Well, is that what, like, but PayPal is and everything?
No, PayPal, man, you got to use real money.
Yeah, PayPal, you have to use real money, but the Bitcoin, it would be a Bitcoin slot, I guess.
Yeah, you'd have to just say, we now engage in Bitcoin and you guys can use that. So it's a way, I think, if I'm understanding this correctly, it's a way of protecting one's, for instance, online your identity. It's to protect you from identity theft if you're using a credit card, if you're using any kind of banking information to exchange monies online. I don't buy anything online, very few things.
What do you use your credit card for online?
I use a credit card online for... For instance, I have an Earthlink account. I have an Amazon account. I have, God, I forget what.
Well, what about with a website?
Yeah, what about like using a website?
Yeah, we have vendors that we deal with in our website business that we use a company credit card for. But you're talking about personal?
Yes, your own personal credit card. What do you use it for? And what are the last, I'm kidding, I was going to ask you what are the last four digits just to see if, and I don't think you are, just to see if you were stupid enough to give me the last four digits.
You don't think I am, but you're sitting there with a pen and a pad in front of you.
That's kind of a giveaway, Margaret.
In case, just in case.
And what were you going to do with that information?
Phil, if you're stupid enough to give me your credit card number, you don't think I'm not going to, why wouldn't I write it down?
And what are you going to do with that information?
Wouldn't you like to know?
So you're going to go and use my credit card and rip me off.
I'll say it again. If you are dumb enough, if you just came out of the jungle yesterday, if you just came out of your cave with your club and your deerskin wrapped around your rear end, dragging your wife by her hair, and you said, hi, I'm an ape man, here's my credit card number, wouldn't you use that?
Well, no, because... Yeah, I. What do you mean, wouldn't I? What ape man has a credit card?
Good question.
So I would think that he's smart enough to have a credit card, so he'd be smart enough to go to the... What are we talking about, anyway?
You're talking about whether an ape man has a credit card, and it's a ridiculous premise.
I'm trying to make a point.
You're not making a point very well, okay? No ape man has a credit card. If he did, then I would think he's smart enough to go to the cops.
What cop's an ape man gonna go to?
That's a good question, Mr. Henry. No cop gonna treat him seriously.
Look at you guys with the serious looks on your faces. Like, well, what cop would, you know, I mean, are you serious?
Well, I just were discussing it.
And there you are still holding on to that pen.
In case you give the number.
Well, I'm not an ape man out of a cave, so I'm not about to give my credit card number. What ape man would have a credit card number?
I'm asking you if you're that dumb or if an ape man were that, or if an ape man were that smart. Well, no, he'd have to be dumb.
All right, well, let's forget about the ape man. Let's just take a good old-fashioned dumb guy, okay?
All right, let's say it's just some guy that buys extra lives on Candy Crush Saga like you.
Excuse me, I've never bought an extra life on Candy Crush Saga.
You, are you sure, Phil?
I'm absolutely sure. You think I'd spend my money? No way. No way.
Well, who's the one that said they bought extra lives?
Are you trying to say that's dumb? Because I've purchased extra... You think I'm going to wait around for somebody to give me a life? I don't wait for anyone to give me life. I go out and I take it. I did it in the Army. And all right, I do it on the Candy Crush Saga, too. But I don't see how that... You're making this look really bad.
No, you're the guy that's, you know...
All right, so let's say that isn't dumb. Let's say it's not very wise. Are you that... Oh, General.
God, General. Whew.
What?
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something. It's a natural act.
God, dude.
Well, that all bets are off on that. I'm out of the mood. I've lost the mood.
You've lost the mood to argue about whether or not an ape man has a credit card, huh?
I was never in that mood.
Whew. Hey, you want to know something? I eat very healthy.
Well, I'll give you this. It smells like something, you know True, the horse that Johnette Napolitano has?
I don't know the horse. I've seen her writing about that horse.
Well, she loves that horse. And I just want to say, if True cut one, General, you ought to get together with that horse because the two of you are probably buying from the same feed exchange. I'm Margaret Gray. Don't say it. I'm the one that gets the last word.
Now, when we got 3 minutes left in the show.
Well, don't say anything about...
By the way, I wanted to say that Johnette posted something. She quoted you as ripping her music.
I saw that. I have no idea what she's talking about.
She has a quote there that you just ripped her, saying that she doesn't rehearse, that she sucks, all kind of stuff.
I've never, ever said any such thing about Johnette's music. I think she is marvelous. I love her music. I love Concrete Blonde. I've loved everything about her for many, many years, and I've kept very quiet about it. I've written very silent little fan letters to her, signed a fan. I don't look for any advantage. I don't look for any special favors. I think she's wonderful. And that she would say that I said what she said that I said, what I did not say, which was that I thought she blew Chipmunk or something.
Well, no, I said that you said that her music... blows on high.
Yes, I never said that.
You like her music?
Yes, I like her. What is this, all of us of the Inquisition?
Well, we gotta make sure you gotta sit here ripping on it.
Do you like her music or don't you?
Yes, I do. Don't ask me again. I'm getting pissed off.
Well, Margaret, we have to be clear. Now, do you or do...
All right, take it easy, General. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. I saw that quote and it looked really nasty, you know.
I didn't say any such thing. If I said anything like that, I probably said it about someone. I don't know who I said it about. Some other singer, some other turd.
Some other turd. All right.
I can't think of any singer. Yeah. Oh, God. You know, that Oakland Kush you gave me. I mean.
Yeah. So we're going to see you guys. We're going to see you guys on Monday here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we certainly do hope that you will join us as we return. We are live, as I say, on TuneIn and our Listen Live line each and every night starting at 7 o'clock on the 15th. Remember, we go to 9 a.m., and, of course, the podcast gets dropped, if you'll pardon the expression, around 1 o'clock Pacific, same day. It's a beautiful thing. We love you. Have a great weekend. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.